Cool. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
Isn't White Knight the best game you've ever played?
Oh, it's great. I love it.
You're well designed. No flaws whatsoever.
None.
I would much rather talk about the two games that I played this past weekend that were far, far better than White Knight.
Well, what were you playing?
I played Firewatch and Unravel.
Oh, I still want to play both of those games. Oh my gosh. So jealous right now.
Firewatch was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Unravel is...
It looks adorable.
It's nice. Yeah. I mean, it's a... like, that one is really fun. Especially if you like platformer puzzle type of stuff.
Oh, I do. I do. Oh, man. Okay. All right.
We actually talked about making Firewatch on our... list for games to play.
I would suggest it.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good one.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Oh, baby.
What?
Yeah, okay. The face kills me, so I had to take screenshots.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. It's definitely, he's not the best looking woman in the world, but
No, obsession worthy is what we're
obsession
told.
Obsession worthy.
Yeah. Everyone is obsessed. Yeah, everyone is obsessed with this, with Selena.
What is up with these screenshots?
Why is just drop it in screenshots is what I'm doing.
Is that Michael Jackson or is this the lady that's
No. Yeah, you guys were all playing White Knight. I was playing Michael Jackson the game.
If you dyed your hair black, it might be a good passer. That's Michael Jackson.
Dead ringer, guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
Wow.
Well, let's get this over with. Sorry in advance. I mean, there's really no way I don't think we could have known that the game was going to be so troubling to most people. I mean, Steph seemed to have a less difficult time than the rest of us, but I don't know. I had a really hard time with this game. I really wanted to like it, and I did like it conceptually, but it doesn't play well.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what makes it almost unplayable. And I think what I was telling Steph last night is, like, what's probably causing some frustration is that, for me, I'm like, okay, I gotta get through chapter 3. And then I get to, like, you know, a quarter of the way in, and I die, and then I'm all the way back to where I didn't save. And then, you know, running out of time because we gotta talk about the game.
Yeah.
And you just can't do it because you keep getting killed and set back like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you weren't like even close to a room with the chair to save in, because there were like what? Like maybe two in the house?
Yeah.
Two or three? Like you had to go, like it was like, okay, I need to go like through a couple of rooms to save this game. And then you're wasting matches.
I never had problems with matches, actually.
Yeah, there's so many matches in the kitchen.
Yeah, like, they just keep like responding. 80?
I came close. I came close a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah.
I never had a problem with that, actually. Well, I would get so aggravated when he'd, like...
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say he'd, like, strike a match and it would like, go out.
Oh, yeah!
Like,
yeah,
I was like, you idiot!
One job. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and you couldn't try to move while striking the match. You had to stand perfectly
that
still. And you couldn't. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I kept doing it while walking. like an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because I was able to let him while walking, too. I think just once in a while, they would just, like, not work. I think that was a pretty cool mechanic, though.
It was cool, yeah.
It added some unpredictability to, like, your resource management, which I kind of like that.
Times in a row.
Yeah.
Times in a row, and I was like, this is... And I had, like, 8 matches. It happened to me 3 times, and I was like, okay, now I'm down 4 matches. This is great, great. Thanks, game.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that the old school camera angles are really what killed this game. I think I could have dealt with the matches, I could have dealt with the graphics, but the camera angles killed me more times than I can count.
So, Grim Fandango kind of has the same issue, but the thing that makes it different is it's so much easier to follow along. Especially with the camera angles. So the one thing that got me the most was when I get to the house and, mm-hmm. you know, you get close to it and there's a top-down view of the camera.
Yeah.
And then you move, like, a centimeter in mm-hmm. any direction and it switches to a long shot on the ground level. There are so many times where I could not judge where the stairs were to get up on the porch. And it drove me crazy.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, plus you're hobbling around.
Yes.
Well, and what really got to me about the camera angles is that they would switch so unexpectedly. So, like, I'd be moving to the right, and then the camera angle would suddenly switch, and I'd be going in an entirely different direction. And I had multiple times where I would be going one direction, and then the camera angle would switch in such a way that I was now moving backwards. So it would switch back, and then I'd move, and then it would go back again.
Yeah.
So I was stuck flickering camera angles. It was really the worst.
I was able to get past that just because if you kept holding down the button you were going in the first place, it would keep moving you in that direction.
Yeah.
So, like, as long as you just kept going and didn't try to redirect yourself really quickly, you're okay.
Yeah, I agree. Although, when it got dark at certain points like those, I don't know if you guys got to the spotlight scenes, but...
With the car?
Yeah, with the car. There's a couple of them. Though. The first one with the car, but the second one is far worse because they kind of... It was the first one, the one where they move. It was the one where they move.
Yeah, they move around and you have to get letters and stuff.
Yeah, and I just felt like I would go into the dark and the camera angle would change while I was in the dark.
Yeah, exactly.
No idea where I was. It was, it was pretty rough.
And then, was it the second one, the second spotlight, where you would run towards it, like the last one, and it would all of a sudden go completely dark?
Oh my gosh, yes.
That happened like 8 times.
Like, why is it going dark? How am I supposed to figure this out now?
And then you're dead. You're done.
Yeah, you just sit there running in circles and die. So frustrating. Well, enough about the camera angles. Were any of you guys scared or freaked out by the game at all? Like, was the ambiance spooky for anyone?
Oh yeah.
I wasn't. The ambiance wasn't so much scary. I think largely because this female ghost in particular, Selena, whatever, was like laughable. in design, but some of the jump scares got me.
I couldn't see anything to really be scared.
Fair enough.
It was too dark.
Like, the ambiance definitely freaked me out, but then I learned, like, I don't know, as you're going through the game, you learn how to use the things that once freaked you out as something to give you an edge,
right?
Which I liked. Like, the music would swell when you got closer to a ghost, and when I heard music swelling, I was like, whoa, okay, time to watch out for things.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I thought some of the, especially towards the beginning, I thought some of the ghosts, you know, I was kind of scared. Not scared, but just, like, the ghosts and stuff I thought looked really cool, and I was like, oh my goodness, you know. So, you know, I was a little frightened a couple of times at first, but then, you know, as Monza said, you kind of get used to it.
Fatal Frame's better.
Oh, Fatal Frame. Fatal Frame. My goodness. Oh, that's a good game.
You want to go? You want to go? A little bit dated. I don't know if it holds up, but it's good.
The idea holds up.
The idea does hold up, yes. Steph, why don't you talk about question 5 there?
So, I noticed, like, going through all the documents, because you pretty much, like, you experience the story through the things that you read in the house, pretty much. Other than, like, Selena, which appears to you a few times. But a lot of it has to do with the Great Depression. Do you think that the developers were trying to make a correlation between the darkness in the house and the Great Depression? And it seemed to me that, like, it was almost using the game as almost like a teaching tool for the era of the Great Depression as well. Anyone else?
I mean, I could see not so much the darkness as a parallel thing. Maybe they were doing that, and I'm just too thick to have noticed it. But that's very possible. But I agree that it was sort of like a little historical snapshot. So it was like, oh, I feel like I'm learning something about this period of history.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with that.
cool. I mean, I wasn't scared, really. I thought it was creepy at first. I thought the music was good. I was just, I think I was a little too frustrated to be scared. And a couple of times, like Chris Clark said, like, the jump scares got me. I mean, how can they not?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Those are kind of cheap, anyway. But the ghosts kind of look the same. They're creepy, I guess, but... Yeah. I've seen worse. Seen far worse.
Yeah, it wasn't anything too vulgar or too, like, exceptionally scary, but...
Yeah.
I don't think it's supposed to be. Although some of the content that you read is pretty horrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
There was one about the possession. There's one about, like, the murders.
Or then you come across that room with the chains in it, and, like, the... There were, like, chains hanging from the ceiling, and I think it was, like, a kid's room or something.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Did you guys see the room with the dead body and the flies and all that? That was messed up.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
oh.
So, okay, I had to point out, this is our second game in the row that has had somebody obsessively kidnapping women, killing them, and also creating art with them after they've been kidnapped. So, like, is there, like, something you need to tell us? Like, this is a weird theme to be following, I just gotta say.
Implying that I kill women and keep them in a basement.
I'm not implying anything. I'm just wondering why this is a continuing theme.
Wow.
Please ask Steph. I don't have an answer for you.
Well.
Take that as a yes.
I'll have to plead the fifth on that one.
That's a pretty... duly noted, Clark. Thank you.
It's, I mean, it's a weird connection. Like, I realized it about halfway through as I'm, like, looking, and I'm like, well, because it was, you get to a painting, and he's like, oh, this person looks like they're in pain or whatever. Yeah. And I remembered almost the exact same line in Life is Strange where she's like, oh, this model looks like tortured. So I was like, this is a weird parallel right now.
Yep.
Little did you know that all of our games will have a underlying theme of murder and kidnapping.
Dun dun dun.
I mean, I guess, is that what Transistor is about? Sure.
Well, sort of. But we won't go there yet. Well, no, never mind. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I got us way off track. My bad.
It's okay.
You had to know. You just had to know.
Dude, there's just so much to talk about with White Knight, Clark. We gotta get through this. Come on.
Yeah,
you guys.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, we were talking about the newspapers and stuff like that. More sort of that kind of is how what tells the story of the house, the people living there. So, I mean, what did you guys think? I mean, I was pretty compelled by the story, in all honesty. Regardless of the mechanics, I did find myself interested in what was going to happen. Anybody feel the same way?
Crazy people are always interesting.
True.
Yeah, I felt like that in the beginning, and then like towards the end, I'm just like, alright, more story, let's skip this. Like, the victim notes and stuff, I wasn't too, like, compelled by. It seemed like just random information. Which, I guess, lends itself to the whole, like, hey, this guy's crazy, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like there was almost... There were too many threads. Like, unlike Monzo, I was actually interested in the victim notes and what that was about, but then there also was this whole Selena thing, and then there's also... you know, who you are as a character, because you're drunk driving all over the place, and then also there's these little hints that you're like, sometimes you'll see a portrait and you're like, I think I've met this man, and it's like, do you actually have some weird connection to this house? So, like, what plot line am I supposed to be following? So I just felt kind of lost in the story, more than anything else.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, there was a lot to read. There was a lot to find. And I kind of wish that they would have done more showing than telling, or done more showing than expecting you to read everything.
Yeah. I think a lot of games do that now. I feel like it's a bit cheap.
Yeah, or even just, like, they could have just been a little more focused with what they were doing.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I like the Selena storyline because that's who you seemingly have a connection to throughout the game. So, like, all the other people you can't really, like, see or relate to unless you're studying the pictures on the walls.
Yeah, see, I found Margaret fascinating as well. She was the mother of William, Henry's wife, and apparently going insane, along with everyone else. And apparently it ran the family, because William was going insane as well.
I did Selena's entries, but go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, if you have Margaret running around your whole life, like, torturing you, then, yeah, you are going to go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's a Franco that can hear us, who's in the room here, feel free to jump on the voice channel over here on the left, the general chat, and join us. But otherwise, Steph, you can move on to, I'd like your number 7 question if you want to propose that one.
Yeah, okay. So, going back to what I was saying about Margaret, in a lot of the letters, it just seemed like, it seemed like as you went through the house, like, she was getting more increasingly anti-men, like, anti-man. Like, she would, like, her letters, well, because Henry, her husband, was belligerent and, you know, and horrible. And she just seemed to be getting, you know, more and more as you went through the house and finding all these notes, more anti, you know, man race in general, I guess. And so to me, like, it almost felt like that the game was kind of portraying men and women in different lights, like almost portraying men as always being kind of very obsessive, because William was obsessive with Selena and was constantly, like, trying to write her, and Selena was more kind of on the fence between, I mean, not really on the fence, but she was writing to William like he was her friend, even though he loved her, or was obsessed with her, I guess I should say. But she liked this other guy. But it just seemed like it kind of painted the men in a bad light, I think. Did anyone else feel that as well?
Say that again.
I'm not sure I got far enough for that, because I didn't play through Chapter 3 all the way.
Oh, well, it just seemed like, I mean, just to me, and this is just what I picked up through reading everything, was that it almost seemed like the men were portrayed in a bad light. In general, like, just men in general, like, because it seemed like every man, even the main character that you were playing, like, automatically became obsessed with Selena without even, or Serena, yeah, Selena.
Selena, yeah.
Automatically became obsessed with her, like, just watching her. And then William was, like, obsessed with Selena. Henry, the husband, William's father, was belligerent. Like, it almost seemed like it was painting men in a bad light, as opposed to women who were kind of the victims of these men.
Hmm. See, I didn't pick up on that, but that's a good observation.
Yeah, like, there was crazy nuts guy. I guess William was the one killing people, right?
Yes.
So, William, like, yeah, he was nuts. But I think Margaret was just, because most of the narrative you see about the guys is written from Margaret's perspective, and she's all like hoity-toity, hey, I'm royalty from Boston. And my husband isn't teaching my son how to do things right. I should take him away, something, something.
Yeah.
That was well said.
So I think, I don't know, like, yeah, William's crazy, but aside from that, I think Margaret's also a little, from going nuts at the end, like, she's on her high horse.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I can see that.
Welcome, Franco. Lurk away. Feel free to jump in the chat. I know Franco did mention to me that he's not playing White Knight, but he just wants to be curious as to our chat, so welcome.
Welcome, Franco.
Yeah, so I think that I didn't pick up on that necessarily, but I can definitely see where you're coming from. I mean, I didn't feel like, I felt like the main character was a bit too stupid in a way. Like, he just seemed kind of dumb.
The guy you play as. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't get far enough to really figure out who he was or what he is, but we get a bunch of questions here that we skipped because we're I think we're shaving down for time here, but we're this might be a short one, guys. That's okay. I actually wanted to jump down, Steph, if you don't mind, to question 11, because I thought of this early on. It was one of the first things I encountered. The character bumps into, you know, crucifixes more than once. And then there's also a statue on the table in one of the first rooms of the Lunar Goddess, and he actually says to the crucifix, he says, "This is not comforting." But then he specifically says about the Lunar Goddess is comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what you guys' thoughts were on maybe the world, like, is this a hint into the worldview of the character? I just found that, as, you know, again, as a Christian, and we're not torturously Christian based in this group, but I was like, that's an interesting, I couldn't help but pick up on that, you know? Mm-hmm. They would go out of their way to say, this crucifix, which to me, like, if I was in a situation that was hostily spiritual, the first thing I would think of was, we gotta call a priest, or give me a crucifix, right? I mean, that's what I think most people would say. But in this situation, he's like, that's not comforting.
Yeah.
And he sees a statue of the goddess, and he's like, yeah, I'm on board with that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a warning sign, he calls it a couple of times. But
I was taking screenshots like crazy. No, I agree. Because I also took screenshots, because, again, it's an interesting thing to me. And I'm not sure if it's so much an insight into the character or more of an insight into how the crucifixes were being used. Because in the first one, it's not so much, I mean, it's just hanging on the wall. But in the second time he sees it, he does very clearly specify that it looks more like a warning sign. So, and you can see that it's sort of, there's boards over the door and there's a crucifix stuck on that as well. So I think that he's more just commenting on, like, these crucifixes don't seem to be here for religious reasons so much as superstitious reasons, and therefore not comforting.
Interesting. That's a good point.
Yeah.
More of like a barricade against something that might be trying to get in or something.
Yeah. Like, that seems to be what he's trying to communicate.
Yeah, and I also noticed that, like, I even made a note of it, because I made a bunch of notes when I was going through, but towards the beginning, the main character, again, that you're playing actually even, I think, questions like, where is God in this, or something like that, or questions about the significance of God, even, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Oh, man, the one thing I didn't take a screenshot of.
Why do you take so many screenshots?
Just for fun and to be able to reference back.
That's
like,
cool.
It helps me to remember the game, like, because I just have them all open in a folder so I can look back at them.
Cool.
Good idea.
Someone started to talk and I jumped over them. Sorry. I don't know.
No, it's all good. I know for me, like, I never grew up in, like, a Catholic church, so seeing the crucifix is, you know, kind of creepy for me.
Right.
So, I mean, for me, I was on that guy's side, like, oh yeah, this isn't comforting. I was like, yeah, it's not, I don't know, it wouldn't come for me. So.
Yeah, that's a good perspective, yeah.
Even though, you know, I love Jesus, but the whole crucifix thing, like, in certain circumstances are creepy, and that game, they were creepy.
The Pentecostal view doesn't see the crucifix as an empty cross, usually, so people are often confused by it when they see it if they didn't grow up in the Catholic church. Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair statement, actually. That's true. I mean, obviously, to write a game like this, you have to have, I think, some view on spiritism, you know, because you wouldn't. I mean, obviously, there's a theology here, even if they're not coming right out and saying it.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that communion with the dead or trying to, you know, help ghosts with their unfinished business. Granted, it's a very common, you know, campfire story that we all have fun with, but there's obviously deeper meaning somewhere in there with the developers or whatever, but I digress. I thought it was really interesting. I kind of liked that. It kind of challenged me a little bit to be a little more open-minded, you know?
Yeah.
Quiet. Crickets. It was those,
like,
was the cricket. The cricket set.
If nothing else, this game was a good exercise in perseverance. Like,
yes.
after I couldn't find the key in the graveyard after a half hour, I was like, all right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to look at the walkthrough, and then I'm going to keep going. So I do intend to finish, even if we don't as a group.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the game was sort of, its flaws were exacerbated by the fact that I had to play it by Tuesday night, you know? So, like, if I could have gotten frustrated and then walked away from it for a week, maybe I wouldn't have been so frustrated with it. But
yeah,
it was just the time crunch. It was not fun.
I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's just I think, honestly, we wouldn't even be talking about this if there was an autosave. I mean, really, that's the biggest problem.
Well, I didn't have problems with saves, because, I mean, I was just going back. The only time that I kept dying, I was only going back two rooms, but it was just the fact that I kept dying, and I was like, this is just stupid. Like, this is just, I can't see the ghost because of the camera angle, so.
Yeah.
There was one time I died, and then it sent me back to the second spotlight scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was
oh,
like,
that's the worst.
I'm done.
Yeah, that happened to me, I think, about three or four times.
Yeah, I didn't see a point continuing that frustration. It just wasn't fun at that point for me, personally. But I think you're right. I think it's a time crunch thing. It's not so much the game. I mean, I can get through any game if I really want to, but trying to cram in and then continually die and not make any progress is just frustrating for anyone.
Did everyone use keyboard and mouse, or did they use a controller?
I was on a controller.
Okay.
I use keyboard and mouse.
So I almost feel like it'd be easier to control on a controller than the keyboard and mouse.
What is the mouse just clicks on stuff?
Well, I don't even think the mouse did anything at all. But
yeah, no, it was all keyboard.
Like, the keyboard was just almost impossible to do anything on the keyboard.
Dude.
That's keyboard setup was weird, too.
It really was. Like, they had the run command was the U key.
Oh.
And it's like,
that's really bad.
The R is right on the left hand. Why am I using the U key to run?
Wait, so you'd use WASD to move and then U to run?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you crapping me?
I had, what I was doing is I had my hand on WASD and then my thumb on space. And then I had, like, my index finger of my right hand on U and then my pinky on enter.
Oh, that's so gross.
These were acrobatics, Monzo.
It was weird. I mean, you didn't have too many buttons to hit, but still, it was just like, all right, I've never used this hand position before playing a game.
Well, okay, so there's little details like that that lead me to think that the people who made this game were more into the artistic side of it than the game design.
Absolutely.
There's just a lot of ignorance of basic game design ideas. Like, everybody knows how a keyboard's supposed to be set up.
Yeah.
Like, anybody who plays video games.
I can see that, though. I can see where they'd be more... now that you say that, yeah, it does seem like they were looking more at the artistic aspect of it.
Yeah.
The black and white is really cool.
It's good to have, like... an artistic game, but you definitely need at least one guy on the team who knows how to design a game.
Exactly.
And not that I couldn't go in, like, into the controls and change them or whatever, but it was just weird, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the art of it, I really did like the art. I mean, it is really good art, despite it being a terrible game.
Right.
Yeah, there were some aspects kind of going off art and kind of going off a little bit, like, towards the beginning of the game. Like, I really, really, the first, like, 15 minutes of the game, I was like, wow, this is going to be really good. Because, like, I really liked how they went through the credits in the beginning, how you were driving and the music was playing and it played the credits, like, while you were trying to drive on this road.
That was cool.
And then also, I liked the menu, how that when you went on different... when you would change, you know, would go down to the next menu item, it would play a note. So I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be really, like, really interesting. And then 20 minutes in, it kind of all just fell apart.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed that first 20 minutes.
I really, in the very beginning, I really got into the roleplay and actually drove through the credits like I was leaving a bar at 4 in the morning.
Nice.
Yeah, I think artistically we can all agree it's really creative.
Yeah.
I remember when I first played the game at PAX, I could barely understand the guys because they had these really thick French accents. They're trying to tell me how to play. And they're saying something about matches and whatever, and I'm trying to walk through this dark house. And I'm playing the game for like 30 seconds, and then I get grabbed by the first ghost in the hallway. And they're like, oh, you died. And I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks. And that was about it. I didn't play anymore. And I was like, yeah, cool.
They probably took some sick pleasure in that.
I'm sure they did.
No one can beat our game. We are the best game designers in Sivar.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I'll probably finish it at some point. So anyways. Steph, why don't you talk about the section there about the mental illness?
I think we've already kind of, you know, mental illness. I mean, clearly, I mean, I think that Henry was as well, but clearly Margaret and William was suffering from some form of mental illness, you know. And but to me, like, I couldn't really get, and I'd like to hear your opinion on if they were kind of portraying it in a light of, like, so people would better understand it, or people would, you know, be able to, to encourage others to notice it, or was it only used as a plot device, or kind of like as a thing of like, oh, well, they were just crazy, so, you know.
I don't know, because, like, the mental illness thing seems to be spawned by an outside source. Like, if you were really trying to be some sort of activist for the mentally ill or whatever, like, I think it could be portrayed in a way that wasn't ghosts scaring you into going crazy.
Right. Right, which was kind of William's. That was William's excuse, right? That his mother was still haunting him.
Yeah, well, that was all of them. Like, I think, because even Margaret was talking about specters and stuff.
Yeah,
like, appearing.
Yeah.
And so I think Margaret just sort of took on the specter thing when she died, or I don't know.
Do you think it was all ghost-related?
I think so.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think, speaking of ghosts, I just want to kind of talk about one of the last things we wrote here about Selena's dream. Mm-hmm. Or not dream, I'm sorry, her dream of becoming a star. I don't know how far you guys got, but I was really intrigued by Selena's entries because they were very, like, insightful, I thought, and more rooted in, like, you know, sanity than the other ones. You get an idea that she wants to be a star. She's, you know, chasing after that life, that sort of that glamour life. And you seem like her parents are not with that idea. They're not on board with that at all. And I was one that could kind of relate to that. I mean, if I had a dime for every time I heard my parents be like, well, that's not good. You know, you got to do this or you got to do that, which wasn't always what I wanted to do. So I wanted to kind of throw that out there and be like, was this just me? Or is this something that other people have been through? How true is that to real life? You know, that kind of thing. Like this whole idea of like, well, I will sacrifice my dream so that I don't disappoint my parents. And is that what we should be doing? I mean, I really want to throw that question out there. I think we do, personally. I mean, I think we do tend to sacrifice.
I was waiting for someone else to speak.
Trying to piece together your question. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Basically, my question is, should we, as honorable, like, kids who honor their parents, be willing to sacrifice something we want to do with our lives, a dream of ours, so we don't disappoint them or go against what they want for our lives? I think it's a common struggle for most young adults, especially.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm 32, and even at 32, like, I still struggle with that, you know, because, I mean, and not even with, like, following your dreams, but really with any big decision, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you want their approval, And if they don't give it, you're kind of like, well, maybe I shouldn't do it then. Like, maybe it's not the right idea for me. And I think that, I don't know. I personally struggle with that because I just think that, I think it's a common struggle. And there are times that I think where that caution is probably in the right place and something you should consider. But then it all depends on the situation, because other times, you know, you need to follow what you want to do, you know, instead of letting other people guide you.
Yeah, I don't have as much experience with that because my parents were fairly, hands-off with me in a way in that respect. Like, they were always supportive of me. They were always just there. And, oh, you want to be a real estate agent? Go for it. Oh, you want to install DirecTV? Go for it. Oh, you want to be a youth minister? Go for it. Like, I've done all of these different things. And every step of the way, my parents have been like, all right, cool. You want to be a nurse? Yeah, go for it. And, you know, so they haven't really imposed what they've wanted me to do on me. They've hinted here and there, but they've never gone to the point where they've been like, hey, I'm disappointed that you didn't follow in my footsteps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way, too. They've, you know, my parents have pretty much been open on what I choose to do. They, you know, never really forced any will or views or anything like that on me, so... Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously it's different home to home, but I've met a lot of, like, Christian group circles, especially, yeah. Like, that are extremely protective of their kids, like, to a fault. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was growing up, I was going to get really personal now, right? But Chris Stanton can probably attest to this, because he knows my dad. My dad is... We don't have enough time to talk about my dad. But, I mean, my dad means well. He doesn't, he's a good guy and he means well, but he's extremely controlling at times, not as much as he used to be. And so when you grow up in that environment, you often think that you can't make decisions for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then when you become an adult and you have no choice but to make decisions on your own, mm-hmm. you still can't. So I can definitely kind of relate. It kind of hit home when I was reading this diary entry in this video game. I was like, you know, this is a girl who really, by all intents and purposes, just wants to do something that she loves to do, follow her dream, and her parents are like basically saying, we're going to kick you out and disown you if you do that.
Yeah.
I can't say that I've ever experienced that brutal of an ultimatum, but certainly... been made to feel bad or told that there's a better way and their better way was often their way. I think at some point we all have to say thank you for the advice, but I'm doing my own thing and, you know, you're just going to have to live with it.
Yeah, and I think you have to you have to look and see where that concern or where what they're saying is coming from. Exactly. Like, if it's coming from a place of, like, protect, like, not being overly protective of you, but being, you know, that they know possibly something about, you know, what you're doing or what you're playing, you know, that they have some kind of inside knowledge. But if it's just them just being like, you know, well, I, you know, it won't make enough money. You won't, you know, you won't do as well as what, you know, as what you should be expected to do, you know, as a man or as a grown woman, then that's when you start having to kind of being like making your own decisions.
And, of course, without getting too super spiritual, because I'm trying to avoid that here, but, I mean, obviously, when you put God in the equation, it's a whole different it's a whole different thing anyway. You look at the situation entirely different, so. Are there any other final thoughts about the game or things that jumped out at you that you wanted to share? Because I think we're going to probably end early on this one, but we are pretty much out of stuff at this point, because it is what it is, so.
Yeah.
Initially, I wanted this game to be good because it was taking a kind of film noir almost approach to it.
Yes.
And, you know, it was something kind of unique in a way with the art style and everything. But, like, the first 15 minutes that I had with it, the controls just really killed it for me. And then also the notification system that they have when you're close to something, and like you have this spyglass or like a newspaper clipping or something like that.
Yeah.
It was very touchy too.
And
sometimes like I completely missed out on it because I wasn't looking in the top right of the screen, because it blended so much in with everything else that it was hard to see there. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is a disappointment because it did look like a good game and I was kind of excited to play it, but the execution was just really not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can all definitely agree on that.
Yeah.
It is kind of disappointing because I really want it to be better. You know, I definitely agree with you, Chris. Anybody else?
Because I heard so much. I mean, I heard a few people like say like that the story and that like it was a very like story driven game and that it was very good, and I don't know what those people were on, honestly.
I think if the story is good, it's just you can't get enough of the story because you're just dying all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, were you talking to people who were like on acid and everything was like, whoa?
Oh, that might have been it then, Mom.
That game made me trip for days.
I don't know. I'm assuming. Okay, well, Steph and I decided that we're not going to continue.
Yeah.
I don't know if she told you that already.
No,
but we decided that we don't want to torture you guys anymore. I don't really want to torture myself anymore. I think we have decided to, if you guys are all cool with it, to just move right into Transistor for next week.
Any
opposition of this? Okay.
Yes.
I think this will occasionally happen. We will try our best not to let this happen again. So I do apologize that you... Hopefully, I mean, it was only, what, $5? So we're not out that much money, but...
Yeah, not the end of the world. And I might still finish it.
Sometime. I think I'm going to finish it, too. I'm going to probably finish it, just not on a time crunch.
Yeah.
So next week, we're going to move into Transistor. So basically, I don't know, has anybody in here already played through Transistor?
Nope.
No. I played through Bastion, not Transistor.
Though. Okay. I liked Bastion a lot. It's actually... I mean, it's the same developers, obviously. It's different, but it's also very, very similar. You'll see a lot of similarities. So basically, I played... there's no clear, defined chapters in Transistor, so you kind of have to just eyeball it. I played about 2 hours or so, probably a little less, if you know, considering different play styles. But there's a part. I wrote it down. Let me see here. Hold on a second. The part after, so there's a, here, spoilers. What?
Right, I said spoilers.
Spoilers, yeah. the first stopping point is it's a gondola. You go up, it's like, you can't miss it. It's the only gondola you get to in the beginning of the game. It's probably about 2 hours in. You ride it up. As you're going up the elevator, there's like a couple fight things you fight on the elevator. When you get to the top, it's the high-rise level. That's where you stop. There's a save point right at the top of the elevator. So if you guys can remember that, I'll post the about it again in the chat, chat Facebook page. But that's basically where... Now, along the way, there's like these random like challenge modes you can find. If you want to sink your time into those, go for it. I did a couple of them, and I moved on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that'll obviously slow you down or change the time you might hit the gondola.
Yeah.
But just keep in mind that's where we're stopping. It's
okay.
The game, this Transistor will probably take about 3 weeks to finish, I'd say, if we're doing 2 hour chunks.
Yeah.
We'll plan on that. And then next week, I think Steph will announce the next game.
Yes.
White Knight?
White Knight 2.
White Knight 2,
oh, yeah.
So we've got a good game in store, I think. It's going to be fun. So,
quick question. You got me?
Yeah, hey, Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finally plugged in my microphone. Is that how beefy of a PC do you need, or is that a pretty simple...
You know, do you have a console at all, too?
Yeah.
Because it is on PS4. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's on Xbox.
Cool. I think it's on Xbox One, too.
Okay.
Okay.
Steam has a sale. I don't know if it's still on sale.
I think it was on the sale.
Yeah, it's 20
yeah.
bucks.
Yeah, it's not on sale now.
It sounded like this this other game was like a Rain wannabe. Did you ever play Rain?
Rain, no.
That was a PS4 game. Very noir type, but it was like...
Huh. Oh, yeah, I saw that game. I was looking through the PS4 games, and I saw it on there, but I haven't played it.
Very crimes mystery. You don't know who you are. You're trying to figure out the world, and beautiful graphics. But I've played that. That was pretty good.
You think you'll join us for Transistor?
Sure.
Sweet.
I'm looking at Transistor now on Steam, and the it's giving me the minimum requirements are a dual core CPU. 4 gigabytes of RAM, 1 gigabyte of video RAM, and 3 gigabytes of available space. I don't know if you know what your computer has or not, but basically, if you've bought a computer within the last 2 years, it should have at least that.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Thank you, Mazo.
Uh-huh.
So, any questions about Transistor? Anything unclear? Or... Everybody have it so far, except for Frank?
I don't have it. I'm going to see if I can borrow it, because I don't want to pay the $20. But if I have to, I will.
Yeah, bummer. It's too bad that it was on sale for, like, what, $5 or something?
Yeah,
I missed out on that. But, like, it must have been that day that I missed out on it, because I think I logged in later on the last day of it, and it was like, oh, nope, not anymore. See ya.
That's great to say. I posted it on Game Chat, like, 3 times, guys.
Yeah, Steph and I are trying to keep like a sort of a projected like 3 games that we want to do ahead of time. So we may announce games earlier than we want to just because they're on sale or something. So checking there. That's what we'll post it. And we'll maybe private message you guys if it's something you know that you're going to want to grab.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's about it. Any final thoughts? Thanks for sticking with this one, guys. Sorry it was a bust.
It's all right.
My only final thought is that Transistor should be a good transition from White Knight.
Laughter.
Wow. This is the kind of help we employ here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Always good for comedic relief.
Be here all week.
Thank you, dude. Nice. All right, well, same time next week. Join us for Transistor. We'll post about it tonight.
Yeah.
And thanks, everybody.
All right.
Take care.
Take care, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.